Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Go. It is about a minute and a half past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you want to click on the tab chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password and get in on the madcap multimedia real-time extravaganza that is The Horn conversation that takes place during the 3 hours of the program is live. And you will be greeted by Anatole, Don from Central PA, Hoghead, Laborman, VT Blom, and, of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has today, in fact, folded space to become Man Cave because it was 63 degrees today out there in Northern California. There's no such thing as climate change. It's a vicious hoax promulgated by the Chinese to destroy our manufacturing base. Almost level West by Coal, Trump, Virginia. 72 degrees. 72 degrees here today. Crazy. Just nuts. You know, like the president. But now, just a little bit of a heads up, a tiny bit of a warning. There may be some interruptions in the program tonight because we have something that sounds an awful lot like intermittent gale force winds blowing around out there. And I've experienced, I've caught the uninterruptible power supplies taking power surges earlier in the day. Well, not too long ago at all, as a matter of fact. And there may be some occasional buffering because when the wind blows, the internets have problems here in our two dented tomato cans and a string cyber infrastructure. Who needs hackers when you've got, you know, Frontier? Right? Right. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And a gentle reminder, this is a listener-supported program. We try to raise $200 every evening to keep everything going. And guess what? We pulled up a tad bit short last night. We have Shirley's challenge didn't quite do its usual magic. And we've got $230 to raise this evening. So that's where we stand. 10 at 20, 20, 10 at 23, 23 at 10, 1 at 230, 2 at 115, 4 at 5750. And beyond that, you know, me ciphering pain between ears hurts bad. Math is hard. So that's where we stand. But it is Titanic, and if you want to help out, of course, the contribute tab is also at headonradionetwork.com. That's where you reach into and if you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, we would sure welcome that. $10 a month is a pretty big media bargain, and one of these days we'll maybe get up to that much vaunted, greatly to be wished level of 400 folks at $10 a piece. We're not there yet, I'm still working on 100 even. May not even be over 50. I'm not sure. But if you'd like to just click the little box, just check the little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation and move on to the next screen. Other than that, you know, $5, $10, $230, whatever. And we'll be done with fundraising for the evening. Yay. So there's that. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid, because I never see him. Well, that's the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV25801. Okay? So we'll cross our fingers and just hope. But it's Titanic Tuesday. And Titanic Tuesday, you may recall, is a celebration of manifestations of full steam ahead into the iceberg sort of intellect. The title comes down to us from something that happened years and years ago on right-wing wingnut radio over in Beckley, West Virginia, when one of the faithful called up America's greatest monotone, or at least America's greatest small market monotone, I'm not sure. But anyway, and said, "Steve, how come you reckon it is there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? Because, well, Steve, we ain't nowhere near the beach." To which Steve replied monotonously, thereby sending probably several cars careening toward telephone poles as their drivers fell asleep, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Mm-hmm. Yep. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic Altwurst. Nope. No word at all. And so it is that we generally celebrate, or at least take note of, I think celebrate may very well be the wrong word, we take note of manifestations of monumental right-wing idiocy on these days. This particular day being the 7th day of February, 2017. Yes, Titanic Tuesday is often reserved for right-wingers, but it can also be reserved for people who enable right-wingers and make disasters more possible, make things like Trump presidencies more likely. And we all know, of course, by now, that our new Secretary of Education is a woman who has never held a job in her life, who has never actually been to college. You know, there's lots of ways to be successful in life without going to college. Many of those ways involve backbreaking labor, hard work, determination, dedication, or, in the case of Betsy DeVos, you can just marry the Amway guy. And she is, of course, a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian who wants to make sure that all of our skew children are also good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christians. And she wants to help ensure that by funneling your and my tax dollars from the public school system into little Jesus camps. Yes, yes. And so it was that her confirmation hearing came to her confirmation came to a vote today on the floor of the Senate of the United States. And 48 Democrats and 2 Republican women voted, "Oh hell no," on the nomination of Betsy DeVos, who has about as much in common with any concept of knowing about education as I have with the genotype of the Russian royal family. Right? Yeah. And so she's going to be the Secretary of Education. Jesus' best friend, Mike Pence, theocrat of Talibandiana, the vice president of the United States, the man who is one heartbeat away, one Twitter tantrum away, perhaps, from the presidency, had to show up in the Senate to cast the deciding vote to make Betsy DeVos the education secretary. Yeah, that had never happened in American history before. Ever. So, it's a new first for the Trump administration. Of course, we've never had an education secretary who had no education either. Now, they're just full of firsts. But this is, in fact, Titanic Tuesday. And in conjunction with the confirmation of Betsy DeVos, that noble thinker, that great brain, that heroine who sought to protect us and our children from the dangers of Wi-Fi and electric door openers and vaccines. Yes, that woman who, that woman who got lost because she didn't know the difference between Columbus and Cincinnati. I'm talking, of course, about the one and only Jill Stein. Oh, my God. She decided to chime in on the DeVos confirmation, to chime in on, you know, how that happened. And you know, holy mackerel. I mean, there's some stupid out there. But it takes it you've got to get up real early in the morning and think you're getting up at 11 o'clock at night to match the stupidity of Dr. Jill Stein. Trust fund baby, Jill Stein. One percenter, Jill Stein. Who took to Twitter and remarked at 10:48 a.m. today in regard to the 50-50 tie on the nomination of Betsy DeVos that had to be broken by noted fetus fetishist Mike Pence. Jill Stein, manifesting titanic levels of intellect, the likes of which we don't often see. And there's some, we've highlighted a lot of titanic intellect over the years on this program. But it's going to be a while before anything tops this. Why would we have a tie on such an egregious nominee? Because Democrats serve corporate interests in the Iraq and such like. No, that was Miss Teen South Carolina from a few years back. Why would we have a tie on such an egregious nominee? Because Democrats serve corporate interests. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Happy birthday to you.
No, that's no. Okay, silly voices and everything aside, I want to make sure that this gets all the way down to the ground with us. Why would we have a tie on such an egregious nominee? Because Democrats serve corporate interests. God almighty, she can't eat. I never thought I would find somebody that I could out-cipher, but I got her whooped. Holy mackerel, what a fool. Jumping Jehoshaphat, what a dumbass. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph on a bicycle built for three. What a fuckwit. There are 46 Democrats in the United States Senate. There are two independents, Angus King and Bernie Sanders. That makes 48. And two Republican women, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, joined in to make a total of 50 people opposing Betsy DeVos. The other 50 who voted for her were not, and I'm just saying this to the Stein supporters that are still out there and haven't gotten all pissed off and run away yet. The 50 who supported DeVos were not, and I cannot put too fine a point on this, were not Democrats who serve corporate interests. They were Republicans. Repiglickens. Birchers, baggers, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, booger eaters, trumpansies. But because Jill Stein doesn't have sense enough to come in out of the rain and couldn't pour piss out of a boot with directions on the goddamned heel. No, we have Betsy DeVos because of Democrats who serve corporate interests. Fuck me! You tell me, I mean, you've been with us, we're part of this community here. We've had a lot of Titanic boobies whom we have taken note of. We may have to change the name of what we do on Tuesday. It may not even be Titanic Tuesday anymore. We may just have to call it Jill Stein Tuesday. I mean, ever since I read this, I've been searching my brain trying to come up with some statement. I mean, all the way back into the nightmare years of the reign of error with Dim Leader. I've been searching my brain trying to find something that was actually more stupid than Jill Stein. God damn! What a dumbass! And then there's the people who said, no, I'm voting for Jill Stein so she can get 5% of the vote so the Greens can get federal funding. 1.7, thanks for playing. And thanks for Trump, too. I mean, there's other stuff. There's lots of other stuff. But that one, oh, Jesus. That one was for the ages. In fact, Michael and Madison pointed out to me on Facebook, I honestly thought she'd have deleted it by now, like she did her vax skepticism tweet. I assume she had green Tourette's and meant to say Republicans, but nope, the tweet is still there. I guess she and her magic unicorn stand by whatever the hell it is that tweet is supposed to mean. Holy mackerel. And people, not joking here, not a whole lot of them, but some, really, really, really did go and vote for that dunderhead. Wowzer. And it does things when you see when you run across stupidity on this titanic level, it makes your brain start trying to figure out to shoehorn the dumbassery into some sort of stream of rationality and logic or, you know, brains. Brother Deacon Asa says, now I'm not trying to justify this dumbass in any way, shape, or form. But it might be that in her tiny little brain, she was thinking that if Democrats were more radical, there would be more of them in the Senate, and therefore there would be no tie. This, of course, is a classic case of rationalization, wherein one tries to take the irrational and make it rational so that one's intelligent head will stop hurting so goddamn bad. Mm-hmm. Yep, 27,000 people in Wisconsin voted for that idiot. Hillary lost by 22,000 or something like that. In the chat room, Stockton Larry says, how bad does a candidate like Cackling Hilarity have to be to lose votes to Jill Stein? I don't necessarily... That's a hard one. Because Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton was not personable out on the stump. I don't think anybody ever said they wanted to have a beer with Hillary. And, of course, that's the goddamn standard in the United States right now. Well, I'd like to have a beer with George W. Bush. That's why I voted for him for president. She was boring, and she was wonky. She was occasionally preachy. And probably the two most damning factors around her campaign were that she was A, intelligent, and no, A, a woman, and B, intelligent. As Hoghead points out in the chat room, I don't need a drinking buddy running the government. I think it was Warren Gamaliel Harding who had the self-realization back in, what was it, 1922? To say, I have absolutely no business being the President of the United States. Meanwhile, 45. Dolt 45. Oh, a new name. Wait a minute. I'm giving myself a cowbell for that. Dolt 45 thinks he's going to be the bestest, smartestest president Merck has ever had. And so, you know, bad candidate, Hillary. Bad campaign, Hillary. But mostly it was the smears. It was 25 years of filth. A bunch of it largely untrue. Hissies over email servers that were gobbled up like a starving dog goes after Alpo on a Today Show ad. That was what did her in. That was what made it possible for... And all the... Yeah, Crooked Hillary. Guess what? Those private email servers, Crooked Bannon and Crooked Kellyanne and Crooked Sean and Crooked Rents, and yeah, they're all using them. Mm-hmm. Our crooked president uses an unsecured Samsung Galaxy S3 to tweet. But oddly enough, no one's having a hissy about that, are they? Kind of tells you something, doesn't it? That it had absolutely nothing to do with her and everything to, or with the technology or the law and everything to do with keeping her from being president of the United States. So much so that we were willing to see the entire country fall to rack and ruin around us. Oh, I know, I know. Steve in New York says, if only we'd voted green, not a thing would be different. Sadly true. I mean, I was surprised to see the tweet at all because I rather expected her to stay in her spider hole until she came out to grift some more campaign cash for her pathetic little excuse of an attempt at a fourth party in this country, you know, in 2020. Damn, that's righteous. That is superiorly. Titanic. So I guess we'll just call this the Jill Stein Titanic Tuesday edition. Merciful God. And there's more. Lord God, there's more. Lots of Titanic. Titanic. Lots and lots. Over at... Over at Crooks and Liars. They've got the video of Jake Tapper over at CNN taking on Kellyanne Conway. And I saw, there are brilliant people out there in the interweb tubes. I saw a photograph, a Photoshop of that iconic scene from Alien where Sigourney Weaver is looking straight into the camera in this sweat-covered face of abject terror with the alien looking at her in profile with its mouth open. And somebody replaced that with the face of Kellyanne Conway, the alien with the face of Kellyanne Conway. And it is perfect. That is one creepy woman. And so, today, CNN knuckled under and decided to allow Kellyanne Conway back on their air after a brief, brief little seventh grade slap fight with the White House over whether or not she had been disinvited or rejected. Well, CNN caved, and then, well, this happened.
President Trump was clearly saying that the media does not cover terrorist attacks that we clearly cover. And he was saying we don't do it because we don't want to do it and because we have some sort of ulterior motive in that. That's not what you're saying right now, but that is what he's saying. But while we're on the subject of not addressing a terrorist attack, I want to ask you, in Quebec City last week, a white right-wing terrorist opened fire on a mosque filled with innocent men, women, and children. Six people were killed. President Trump has not said or tweeted one public word about this. You want to talk about ignoring terrorism? Why hasn't the president offered his sympathy to our neighbors in the north?
I know he's sympathetic to any loss of life. It's completely senseless, and it needs to stop regardless of who is lodging the attack. We of course, are very sad about loss of life here. And he is talking about trying to stop terrorism and people who want to do harm to this country. And I'm sure in the case of our neighbors to the north, I'm glad that the Prime Minister of Canada is coming here next week. I'm sure they'll talk about that if he's coming soon, as I understand. But the fact is that I will ask him, he doesn't tweet about everything, he doesn't make a comment about everything, but I can tell you that the entire point...
And you know, that's true. He doesn't tweet about everything, just things like Saturday Night Live or the failing New York Times that reported a sizable profit this last earnings period. Failing. Maybe that's why he had all the bankruptcies. He thought that was succeeding. Remember when he said he was smart for not paying taxes and smart for shiving his business partners? Yeah. Now, he doesn't tweet about everything, but he does tweet about the horrible, underreported, non-reported terrorism attacks because, of course, the media are the opposition. And this, if I may. I was on and off of Facebook periodically. I check my feed pretty regularly. And I remember after Charlie Hebdo and after the Paris nightclub, I remember everybody changing their Facebook profile pic to the bleu, blanc et rouge of the tricolore, the French flag. Because of all the people that have been killed by terrorists there. You know what I didn't see after the Trump supporting white male, young white male, slaughtered six people in a mosque in Quebec? You know what I didn't see? I didn't see Facebook festooned with the red maple leaf of the Canadian flag in grief solidarity with the people of Canada. Now, the people of Canada, being decent human beings, my God, the photograph of the memorial service for the six slain Canadians. Yeah, that was stupendous. That was a magnificent outpouring of support and camaraderie and shared grief. Not so much down here, huh? No calls for greater reporting of white-wing terrorism, alt-white terrorism, racist killings against people of color. And, you know, somewhere out in the corner, I'm sure some asshole with a Pepe avatar on his Twitter feed or his Facebook feed, yeah, they had it coming. That's six of them, and we got a whole lot more to go. You know they're there. You absolutely know they're there. Oh, and running back to the Stein dumbassery for just a moment, Michael and Madison sent a note. Jill Stein, Titanic intellect, following on the heels of what Asa sent, Michael said, so I'm trying to get out ahead of this, too, and see how one might rationalize the tweet. Someone might say, well, gee, Bob, are you saying Democrats don't serve corporate interests? But of course, that's not the point. Even if we concede that point completely, without any argument whatsoever, the tweet is still a non sequitur. It's like saying, why do we have such a devastating HIV epidemic? Because eating too much cheese is unhealthy. Pure idiocy. Michael. And Michael just nailed, just pinned Jill Stein to the wall with that analogy. Merciful God. That's beautiful. Why do we have such a devastating HIV epidemic? Because eating too much cheese is unhealthy. And if that was coming from Jill Stein, it would probably have the hashtag Wi-Fi eats your brain. Mother of God. So let's remember. I mean, we're working a theme here. Let's remember. The Lügenpresse, because that's the word they love so much, the Trumpansies and Richard Spencer types and neo-Nazis and Klansmen, you know, the base. They're propagating this notion that the for-profit media haven't done a good enough job sensationalizing terrorist acts perpetrated by people of Middle Eastern descent. Jake Tapper pushing back with Kelly Conway says, you know, what about... Oh, and by the way, did you notice this happened last week while I was gone, and the part of the stuff that I'm struggling to keep up with. The Trump administration is moving to change the focus of its terrorism unit to only focus on Muslims and completely ignore white wing terrorism, you know, like Oklahoma City or Charleston or Quebec. Or we'll get to that in a minute, but you know, back to Jake and Kellyanne.
That I do think has been misinterpreted many places about why he wants extreme vetting, in this case temporary and through seven very narrowly prescribed countries that the Obama administration, President Obama's administration, and Congress thought needed more quote serious screening. Mm-hmm. He is doing that in response to what he sees and he hears in his briefings as the advance and the continued threat of terrorist acts, not unlike the one that you're citing to our friends in the North. And of course, put us on record as always being sad about this as a senseless loss of life.
He tweeted when there was that attack at the Louvre Museum where nobody was killed. I don't understand why he wouldn't tweet when six Canadian citizens were murdered, except for the fact that the undercover document that the White House distributed the other day, last night rather, also did not mention any attacks other than those committed by Muslim terrorists. And obviously radical Islamic terrorism is a big problem, but there are all sorts of kinds of horrific terrorism that take place. We saw some of that in South Carolina recently. And I guess the question is, are these victims any less dead than the ones killed by Islamic radical terrorists?
No.
You could almost describe that as a chastened Kellyanne Conway. Steve pointing out Kellyanne's crocodile tears. That bullshit reminds me of this from the Reign of Error. I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Thank you. Now watch this drive. Good call. Good call, Steve. Yeah, that is like that. So then, there's this. Former reality television personality, Sean Duffy of Wisconsin. By the way, Asa pointing out, Obama couldn't breathe air without these shitbags condemning his actions. Now all of a sudden they're using him to justify their crimes. It's about the size of it. Oh, and by the way, they're also having a hissy because the ex-president is doing whatever the hell he wants with his life. To wit, going to the Caribbean and barbecuing. And, oh my God, wearing his hat backwards, like some sort of gangsta thug. No, really. I saw the clips. I'm not going to subject you to them. Why is former President Obama wearing his hat backwards? Oh my God! Kenyan Muslim! Yeah, I know. So, he's still, Ace, I say that just by way of pointing out that he still can't breathe air without the quote-unquote shitbags condemning his actions. Nope. And, of course, the extreme vetting is because Obama. And when, under the tutelage, if we can call it that, the public education system begins to collapse under Betsy DeVos, that will also be because Obama. And when somebody brings Kellyanne Conway a cold cup of half-calf mocha soy latte with extra foam that's not sufficiently blisteringly hot, that'll be because Obama, too. Don in Central PA, Bob, please stop playing sound clips of this bitch. Every time I hear her voice, my mind sees an image of Kellyanne in a nice black Waffen-SS uniform with Bannon right behind her in his coal scuttle helmet. Sorry about that, Don. Didn't mean to trigger. I... oh, wait a minute. Ron and Raleigh. You'll understand why in a minute. I guess wearing your hat backwards is better than wearing your hair backwards. See, that's why the cowbell. Hair backwards. Get it? Trump, Dolt 45, right? Meanwhile, Scott and Punky with a note. When it comes to dealing with purveyors of revisionist history or bigoted propaganda mongers, any attempt to drag them kicking and screaming into a reality-based reality is a frustrating battle that's not unlike, to paraphrase the late Eric Severide, being nibbled to death by ducks. Wow. Mm-hmm. Nibbled to death by ducks. Which, for some reason or another, makes me think of Frank Zappa and Weasels Ripped My Flesh. Yeah. Anyway, back to Sean Duffy. Somebody booked him on CNN as well, with Allison Camerota, who also wanted to know why it is that Republicans get all dewy over terrorism committed by people of Middle Eastern descent, but can't quite work up a sad when good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelicals get all murdery. Yeah. Working. Oh, someday. You know, or not. Okay, we'll try it the other way. Stop. See if we can get it on the other computer. And just got to scroll down. There he is. Yeah, there's Sean Duffy. He's got a smile that looks like he's got get out gas. Here we go. Maybe this time.
Listen to me. In that nightclub and at the Boston bombing and in Nice before that truck mowed down 80-some people, love didn't quell the hearts of these radical people. Love couldn't do that. And so we have to look and say, what is motivating these folks who are taking up arms and trucks and knives and killing innocents? And so,
dude, time out. Just one thing. Can I point out that Sean Duffy is a real good Christian? And his Savior said, if a man strike you on the one cheek, turn ye also unto him the other. And said things like, put up thy sword unto his place, for those that live by the sword shall die by the sword, and generally promoted a philosophy of nonviolence, from whence arose the, in part, the nonviolence of, say, Dr. King. But Sean Duffy's Christianity goes only so far. And it doesn't extend to Muslims. And he thinks love is not the answer.
So again, what's wrong with a pause? I think we're having a pause for 90 days. Why is that so radical? Why is that so extreme that we can't say, Mr. Trump, you talked about this on the campaign. You're going to take a 90 to 120 day pause. Good on you, Mr. Trump. If you want to analyze the vetting system that's taken place for 2 years, we'll give you another 90 days. That's not extreme. That's not radical. Yeah. If you think you can keep us safe, if you can prevent another Boston or San Bernardino or Orlando, you know what? You're the new president. I'm going to give you that space to do that.
Yeah.
Why can't we as a country come together and as networks come together, give the guy a break?
Yeah.
Let him protect us. Give him a shot.
Congressman, why isn't the president talking?
Give him a break. Let him protect us. Give it a shot. Well, I'm sure you're paying attention enough, but maybe people outside our little community aren't. In terms of protecting us, you know what would protect us? Keeping the fiduciary rule in place, not gutting Dodd-Frank, not appointing a woman to lead the Department of Education who has never even so much as set foot inside an institution of higher learning as a student. Not having a racist run the Department of Justice. Not having the guy who gets freaked out about who's going potty where running the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice. Huh? Not having a climate change denier in charge of Interior. You want to protect us? How about not rolling back the stream protection rule so that coal companies can continue the process of poisoning people in Appalachia? Because those are real and present threats. And then again, there's also that matter of maybe keeping an eye on white wing terrorism. But no, because that's not terrorism. Those are, well, you know, isolated events.
Thinking about the white terrorist who mowed down six Muslims who were praying at their mosque?
Yeah, I don't know. But I would just tell you, there is a difference. Again, death and murder on both sides is wrong. But if you want to take the dozens of scenarios where ISIS-inspired attacks have taken innocence, and you give me one example of what's happened, I think that was in Canada, I'm going to condemn them all. But again, you don't have a group like ISIS or Al-Qaeda that's inspiring people around the world to take up arms and kill innocents.
Objection? Objection? That's just not true. The Klan, the neo-Nazis, the alt-right. There's only one way to have a white, Eurocentric, dominated world. And that is to do a lot of violence to a lot of people who ain't white. So you know, shut the up, Sean, but he's not gonna. This goes on for a while. It gets better or worse, depending on your perspective.
That was a one-off. That was a one-off, Allison.
Hold on a second.
And you have a movement on the other
side.
Hold
on a second.
Ah! Yeah, Allison. Yeah, I'm with you. Hold on a second. He was talking about the Quebec massacre. That's how he described it.
What's happened? I think that was in Canada.
Yeah.
I'm going to condemn them all. But again, you don't have a group like ISIS or Al Qaeda that's inspiring people around the world to take up arms and kill innocents. That was a one-off. That was a one-off, Allison.
Hold on a second.
And you have a movement on the other
side. Hold on a second, Congressman.
Bring it on, Allison.
You don't think there are...
Bring it on, Allison. That Dunning-Kruger effect is gonna be in evidence more and more. Sean Duffy does not realize how dumb he is. And Jesus, he is. Bring it on, Allison. Oh, he's tough, isn't he? That was almost Butch, wasn't it?
White extremists? You don't remember Oklahoma City? You don't think that this guy who was involved in the mosque shooting said that he was inspired by things that he read online?
So you give me two examples, right? And in recent time, we're going to talk about the one example. And there is radicals all over the world and here in America now that'll take up arms and do bad things. But if you want to compare this one person in the last 10 years that you can give me an example of, Oklahoma was, what, 20 years ago, the Oklahoma City bombing, that's different than this whole movement that's taken place through ISIS that's inspired attacks. I mean, are you going to compare the one attack up in Canada to all the death and destruction in Europe from refugees
or
the attacks in the United States
of America? How about the Charleston church shooting?
But here's what
he was
doing.
An extremist. So, yeah. He was a white extremist.
Yeah, he
hockey
was.
Puck,
okay.
Hockey puck.
That doesn't matter?
No, it does matter. It does matter. Look at the good things that came from it. Nikki Haley took down the Confederate flag. That was great. Mm-hmm. But you want to say, I can give you a couple examples. Mm-hmm. There's no constant thread that goes through these attacks.
Uh-oh.
And you have radical Islamic terrorists and ISIS that are driving the attacks. And if you want to compare those those two, maybe you can throw another one. I mean, look at Gabby Giffords. Look at Gabby Giffords, the Marxist who took her life,
the
leftist guy. And now you see violence and terror in the streets all across America, burning and beating people with Donald Trump hats. The violence you have to look at. You can try to use some examples of the right. So where do we go? The left.
Just
wait, hold on a second. The left has to say, violence is wrong.
Burning and beating people in Donald Trump hats?
As you brought up in San Bernardino, why don't we look at Berkeley, where people get beat? Thank you. People that get beat up for wearing a Donald Trump hat, Make America Great Again hat again, or they get kicked, and stores get vandalized, and they burn and they beat. Where does the left and CNN and MSNBC stand up and go, you know what, this is wrong? If we're going to have peace in our hearts,
and
we're going to inspire
when
the left.
Muslims are attacked as well, and when swastikas are spray painted onto buildings. We've been talking about
Allison,
all of it.
Come on.
Why are you using isolated? Why do you think that when it's a white terrorist, it's an isolated incident?
What I'm saying is, you have a cell, a heart, a beat of ISIS that's inspiring people around the world. And do you deny that? That's going to Europe and come to America,
right?
Whether it's lone wolves. And so what's the heartbeat of the attack that you referenced in the mosque? Or what happened in Charleston?
Extremism,
is there a common theme that
hatred,
runs? So, okay, so we're, so
white
where
supremacy?
Do we, can we vet that? How should we vet that to keep ourselves safe? I'll join you in that effort. What do we do?
No, you won't.
Do you not think it was white supremacy? This is what the shooters said it was.
Yeah, it's horrible. So what should we do? I mean, I'll join you. What do we do on the white supremacy front to make sure we don't have another attack like Charleston? I am with you on that, Allison.
Speak out about it, crack down on it, talk about it as extreme violence as much as we talk about terrorism that you call radical Islamic terrorism.
So let's crack down on ISIS. Let's crack down on the seven terror countries that are riddled with terrorists, and give Donald Trump 90 days to 120 days, give him a pause, to make sure he can keep us safe. Because you know what? If we could have vetted that guy who went into the mosque in Canada, or the guy that went into the church in Charleston, yeah, and kept them from those deaths, wouldn't we do that? Yeah. Wouldn't we take that step together? So if we would try to prevent those attacks, yeah, in America.
Yeah, see, no. He wouldn't vet them because they don't need vetting because they're not Muslims and because they're white. That's how that works. And besides that, wonderful things came out of the Charleston massacre. Nikki Haley took down the Confederate flag. Kind of hard to ask. Maybe you could ask the still grieving friends, relatives, neighbors of the victims, but I doubt that they would have traded their lives to have that miserable rag of treason removed from the State House. But there's a larger issue. There's a list. You know, what happened in Canada was a one-off. Only it wasn't. How about October 9th, 1995? When an Amtrak employee gets killed during a derailment near Hyder, Arizona. The track had been sabotaged. They never find out who did it. But near the scene, they find anti-law enforcement propaganda messages from the Sons of the Gestapo. Or how about April 12, 1996? Larry Wayne Shoemake, owner of 22 firearms and 20,000 rounds of ammunition, murders a black man in Jackson, Mississippi. He was a neo-Nazi. Eric Rudolph kills one person at the Atlanta Olympics in 1996, July. At a Birmingham women's reproductive health care clinic in January 1998, Eric Rudolph kills another person. That in Birmingham, Alabama. 1998, Alan Pilon, Robert Mason, and Jason McVean fire 29 rounds at a police officer in Cortez, Colorado, who's trying to apprehend them because they've stolen a water truck. They kill him. Militiamen. James Charles Kopp, 1998. At home. He was a women's health care physician. He's murdered. James Charles Kopp murders in Amherst, New Jersey, the physician, with his wife and children close at hand. Christian Identity Movement members or associates or affiliates, Benjamin Matthew Williams and James Tyler Williams, brothers, July 1, 1999, murder a gay couple in Redding, California. Neo-Nazi Benjamin Nathaniel Smith, in 1999, murders black basketball coach Ricky Birdsong and a Korean graduate student. And during his three-day shooting spree, shoots and maims and wounds nine other non-white people. August 1999. Jesus, this is 18 years ago. Buford Furrow, neo-Nazi, murders a Filipino immigrant. This after he fired 70 shots inside a Jewish community center near Los Angeles. 2000, 2001, 2003, 2004, 2008, Jim David Adkison, July 27, 2008. The murders at the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Congregation. He was trying to kill liberals and Democrats because of the books he read by Bill O'Reilly and Bernard Goldberg. Mm-hmm. 2009, rape and murder, Brockton, Massachusetts. And then a murder of a 72-year-old homeless immigrant. 2009, Andrew Poplawski kills three Pittsburgh police officers. 2009, Joshua Cartwright, Florida. Two sheriff's deputies murdered. May 30th, 2009, May 31st, 2009. That was Dr. George Tiller, murdered by Scott Roeder in his church. 2009, Holocaust Museum attack. 2010, the IRS Austin, Texas office with a plane, Joseph Andrew Stack, killing one person. Sovereign Citizens, May 20th, 2010. White Supremacists, 2011. White Supremacists, 2012. That's when Wade Michael Page killed six people at a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. 2012, 2014, 2014, 2014, 2015, 2015, 2015. And the article is from 2015, so it, you know, kind of misses out on more of the same. Yep, Sean Duffy. That was a one-off, was what that was in Canada. Where's the overarching group encouraging this? Right under your lily-white nose, Sean Duffy. That's where. And the people who sent you to Congress enable that and support it. And that is why it is a problem. So, yeah. Ron in Raleigh says, wow, you remember a 1970s exploitation flick, Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS? How about Kellyanne She-Wolf of the SS? Jodhpur's shining blackjack boots and riding crops. Somebody Photoshop the movie poster, please. I'll bet you somebody will get right on that, Ron. With the subject line, setting the wheels in motion, Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, writes, on the bright side, almost everyone will soon be able to start their own Jesus College and tap into those federal devil dollars. All the while filling Johnny and Janie up on the likes of Flat Earth Theory 101 and Creation Science Biblical Physics. No loss there, eh? Jerry Falwell Jr.? Plus, bumper crop after bumper crop of unfortunate wasteland children left farther and farther behind. All good widgets for the high-tech consumption machine. Free slavery included. It's looking more like a not-so-brave new world every day. Thanks, Steve, in China. And really, I think, sales of 1984 are off the charts. It might be well if people would read a little more Aldous Huxley along the way, too. Because there are profound aspects of Brave New World at work in this current model we are experiencing. Oh, and a note, a couple of notes. Fundraising just got knocked down to $180, courtesy of Tom in the Bay Area. And meanwhile, Keith says, I will bump up the next five contributions by $5. Due to computer problems, etc., week before last, I wasn't able to contribute. I think now it's worked out. Thank you, Keith. Thank you very, very much indeed. So, Tom's contribution just got bumped by 5. 4 more people get bumped by 5, courtesy of Keith. Thank you very, very much indeed. And so that takes us down to 175 to go. Thank you. Thank you indeed. So we'll take a break now. It's the end of the filibobster. Your calls are welcome. Oh, note coming in from Graham in Australia. I got to laugh at Punky's imagery, going back to the note from Scott and Punky. The ducklings in our pond have matured into full-blown monsters and have stripped the pond and surrounding garden bare. One can hear them gnawing from the back door, which is a long way off. Thanks, Scott, says Graham. I'm shivering. Following up, Steve in China says, one flag or another, it's getting so you can't separate the terrorists from the patriots around here, much less the nationalists from the Americans. Yeah, I don't know. Kind of makes you grateful for the MAGA hats, doesn't it? Oh, by the way, one last thing about the business in Berkeley. Because the for-profit media can't seem to get their heads around this. And God knows the Trumpanzees and the Ninthers, Tenthers, Baggers, Birchers, Booger Eaters, etc. won't. But all the attention was focused not on the deliberate statements of hate, misogyny, homophobia, xenophobia, racism, bigotry that flows like a mighty sewer from out the mouth of Milo Yiannopoulos on his so-called dangerous faggot tour. No, all the attention was focused on the property violence engaged in there at Berkeley. But we need to get something straight. The crime was actually committed first by Milo Yiannopoulos. Incitement to riot doesn't just include the guy who stands there and says, come on, y'all, let's have a riot now. It also includes speech that is so hateful that it becomes intolerable to the people hearing it and drives them to violence, incites them to riot. And once again, I note that insightful speech is not protected speech under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. It is, in fact, a crime, incitement to riot, and it may be punished as such, but nobody out there has the gall or the nerve or the courage to do what should be done and charge Milo Yiannopoulos with a series of incitement to riot charges. Make no mistake, he is the author of the unrest and the problems. He alone is. I mean, in different contexts, we have legal concepts that say that there are some words that are so vile, so offensive, that they serve the same purpose as a physical blow. And that a person who, let's use the hillbilly context. If some guy say, well, you know what, your mama was a whore. And the other guy punches him in the face. That guy has a defense. The words used by the first guy were so provocative that no reasonable person could be expected to listen to them and not respond. Fighting words, they're called. So we need it. Just every time something like that happens, just remember, speech that is deliberately provocative, deliberately inciting, is not protected speech. The fact that the perpetrator is allowed to get away with it is a matter not of the fact that the speech is okay or free speech, but that no one will uphold the actual law. Remember, every time we have try to have a gun law out there, the NRA says, well, we got enough gun laws on the books. What we need is more enforcement. Well, we have laws generally. Every state does. Every state has laws to deal with people who try to whip crowds into violent frenzies, which is exactly what Milo Yiannopoulos does. And gets a pass for it. So, just a little something to think about. It's 11 minutes past the hour. Thank you very kindly, Glenn. Kicking in $10 and getting $5 added to it, courtesy of Keith, to take us down to $160 to go. Thank you, Glenn. Yeah, you're right. That was the name. I was naming the killer. That was Dr. Schlepian in Amherst, New Jersey, that got killed. That was Dr. Schlepian, and the killer is the person that I named. I regret the error. But thank you, Glenn, for jumping in and keeping things going. VJ with a note. Great topic today. First of all, I appreciate your clips with Kellyanne Conway, even if it annoys other listeners. Otherwise, I would miss those hockey puck moments. Secondly, as much as I enjoy and like Bill Maher, last week's show, which you missed, bugged me for two reasons. One, I don't know why he gives publicity to that spoiled brat Tommy Lahren. And two, at the beginning, Maher talked about how groups like the Klan and others cannot compare to Middle East extremists, since the number of incidents are so few. I'd understand Maher's obvious bias against Muslims. Well, I think you do, VJ, because he has an obvious bias against Muslims. And he also conveniently ignores generations of persistent violence by racist groups like the Klan against people of color. The numbers are staggering. And frankly, it is far more extensive over the same period of time than any Muslim terrorism. And that, you know, why must we append the word Muslim to it? Why isn't it just terrorism? Because they damn sure don't like it when we talk about white terrorism. They don't like it so much that they have removed the government having any interest in even investigating or keeping track of white terrorism. So your point is well taken, VJ. All right, then. Quick break, then your calls, because it's Titanic Tuesday, and this is, of course, Conversation Radio, unlike anything that happens really anywhere else. We've got $160 in fundraising to go. We have $15 more, $5 apiece, will be added by Keith to each and every person who contributes, or the next three people who contribute, I should say. Thank you, Keith, and thank you, everybody. And hopefully we'll get caught up and fill in the hole from yesterday. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. And, well, me, I'm just little old Bob Kincaid. Long-distance dedication going out to Sean Duffy. Yeah, it just kind of makes you feel all warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Todd Rundgren loves the answer from somewhere back in the dim mists of 1970s time. Yeah. Titanic Tuesday on the horn for this, the 7th day of February. And hey, look, it's the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man.
What do you know?
I don't know. You tell me. Frederick Douglass is still alive, and
man, if we cannot get Cornell, if we can't sneak Cornell West in to see in to see Donald Trump as Frederick Douglass, you know, there's some things the universe simply
demands. Well, that's stretching it a little bit because he's not quite there, and never was. I know a lot of people like to think that he is, but he's not there. He's not there.
No, but I've got a short list of two things I want to have happen based on what we read today, or what I read today. You know that Trump was most upset about the Sean Spicer spoof on Saturday Night Live because Sean Spicer was played by a woman, and according to Dolt 45, that makes Sean Spicer look weak. So I have a plan. Saturday Night Live needs to immediately reach out to Rosie O'Donnell and write a skit in which she plays Steve Bannon.
Well, if that will hurt his feelings, sure, go ahead. But, you know, is it going to change anything? No.
No, but ridicule is a tool. And well, we can't afford to leave any tools in the box.
It's a tool up to a point, but I mean, we can mock him, and we've been mocking him. We've been mocking him before, any, you know, all of this really fucking got serious, and all we ended up doing was getting him in our lap because nobody really actually talked about the fucking policies. There was no discussion on what was going to happen. Everyone just kind of hoped that whatever the fuck Obama did would just continue to go on forever, even though he really didn't do that goddamn much, you know. I mean, he did a hell of a lot for the fucking business class, and, you know, working people still got goddamn fucked. You know, he didn't put on his comfortable shoes and walk with any labor fucking movement, not just the Fight for the 15, but any labor movement. He didn't do a goddamn thing about black people being shot up fucking racist cops. He didn't do anything about motherfucking just racist white people who were not law enforcement officers shooting and killing and stomping and driving trucks over black people. So no, all of this complaining about, you know, how he wears his baseball cap and all that bullshit is just that, it's bullshit. You know, there's angry goddamn people who, you know, who they don't have any fucking thing themselves, because all of the white people I know, they might be bigoted, but they're not on Twitter and fucking Facebook trying to hurt people's feelings and all that type of shit. You know, they don't run around calling people niggers. They just go ahead and vote and put their money where they want to and damage the rest of us that way. You know, because I spent the holidays with some, you know, two house parties like that. You know, very wealthy people, only because I knew somebody who knew somebody who knew them. And, you know, they didn't like Trump. They all made it clear, and they wanted me to know. They didn't like him, but, you know, you give him a shot, and let's see what happens with his policies. And two of them admitted once the fucking, you know, whiskey started to blow, I'm going to make a lot more money with him in, and I'm not going to have to pay any fucking taxes. So I love it. I'm sorry it's not going to be like that for you. They were pretty honest. They said, hey, I know it's not going to be that way for you. It's going to be really difficult for you. But frankly, for the rest, you know, for me, for sure, for a lot of other people, it's going to be great. We're going to have a great 8 years. So, you know, if we're not talking about the policies, if we're not talking about how the fuck he got up there, and I'm not just saying standing on street corners and whining about how racist white people are. I'm just saying we're not going to fucking really talk about how when the economy fucking went down for the working class got more and more fucking extremists. It's not that the racism just came around. You know, and anyone who's...
No, it's that it never went away.
You know, it's all... always fucking been here. It's just that when they get angry, then it's easier to blame because more people are willing to listen to that type of shit in terms of, yeah, let's blame them. Let's not blame each other. Let's not blame other white people because I want to be on that level one day. I'm a temporary fucking pauper, and one day I'm going to be rich, and then I'll be able to do the shit that he's doing. So, no. So I'll blame a Muslim. I'll blame a Jew. I'll blame a fucking Arab because, you know, they're just starting to realize this week that Muslim and Arab is not necessarily the same thing. You know, I'll blame women. I'll get angry with a fucking female comic for mocking my spokesperson who's trying to cover up my lies. But I'm embarrassed by him because they're using a woman to portray him. So that means that he's weak. And that makes me look weak because Theresa May, the prime minister, was talking about the size of my hands today. So I'm going to fucking fire Sean Spicer. And yeah, I mean, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a 15-year, you know, fucking year old mentality. And he's surrounding himself with a bunch of yes people. They're saying that Yemen attack that took place here, he didn't even know what the fuck he was signing.
No. And
he wasn't in the Situation Room. I mean, none of this bullshit.
No. What's his name? Kelly was pulled away from a highfalutin black tie dinner of the Alfalfa Society. No, I'm not kidding. When everything started going sideways in Yemen. And so it was poor.
He had better things to do, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you don't just put your life on hold because you've got a covert ops special forces mission going in, you know, Yemen. I mean, you still go to your Alfalfa Club dinner, right?
Yeah, so let's go down that track for at least a few minutes, if we may.
Yeah, let's
all
go.
All you motherfucking conservatives that sneak in and listen to this show, my show, Mike Malloy, all of them, all of you fuckers that like to stop and basically expect the rest of us to just drop on our knees and suck your fucking dicks and shit because you serve. You know, everybody was special forces. I don't know anybody that went in a private and came out a goddamn private. All of you are fucking walking killers, right? Okay, here's your goddamn president. Here's your MAGA motherfucking president. The motherfucker who got 5 goddamn draft motherfucking deferments. 5 motherfucking draft goddamn deferments, who said that he had better things to do than go to fucking Vietnam. He just sent one of your fucking boys here who got fucking killed and 10 other goddamn fucking civilians and didn't even get the son of a bitch that they were fucking looking for. So tell me some more about how I'm supposed to kiss your motherfucking ass, that you can't be questioned, that you know that your politics are the only motherfucking politics that matter. Here's your motherfucking man. Got one of your fucking people killed, one of your superstars. What the fuck are you going to do about it?
And what, 3 others don't wounded, and 3 others wounded too, sir. Right, 3 others wounded
and 3 others wounded
and killed an 8-year-old little girl.
Yeah, and well, what, the second child of this motherfucking guy.
Yeah, who let's be clear, at the time that she was murdered was an orphan.
Yep, because her brother got killed after her daddy got killed, you know.
And she was living with, you know, an auntie or a grandma or something.
Hey, he said he's going to start killing the families. I'm not taking words out of context. That's what he said. We're going to start going after the families. We're going to start going after every motherfucking buddy. I wonder if they're willing to go after the family of Bissonnette, the motherfucker that shot up the goddamn mosque in Quebec.
Yeah, sorry, no.
Are they willing to go after the family of Bill and Ruth? I mean, this is the kind of, you know, this is their logic. This is their logic. This is what they're saying that they're going to do. And then, here, I sent you a link. There's a matter of fact, why don't you just read it off, about certain news coming out of Moscow. No, not out of Moscow. Where the hell is this? Fox News reported this, that Russian warplanes have reportedly attacked a U.S. base in Syria. Now, this happened last month, but we're just hearing about this now.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here, Brother Bob?
It would seem to me that once you discount the Steiniacs and the Pooty Poot fan club members and the people who think that everybody's been ponerized that ever brought them a cold cup of coffee, what you've got here is same shit, different day. I mean, remember how we couldn't have Hillary because, oh, Bruga Bruga, she's going to start World War III with the Russia. Blah, blah, blah. So instead, we swapped that for becoming a fucking client state to Russia. I feel so much better, don't you?
Yeah, but you talking about the Stein people or the DNC people or the people who were stuck in the fucking middle?
No, I'm talking about the unicorn, the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry that said that there was no difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Because that
hangs in my craw angry, because they said the same goddamn thing in 2000. But Ralph Nader, oh, there's no difference between Al Gore and George W. Bush.
Well, we got George W. Bush,
and it turned out there was a difference, wasn't there?
Well, I don't necessarily think that they're particularly wrong. You know, the question is, who's willing to fucking put the country on a limb to do a lot of these things? The Bush-Cheney thing, when, I mean, we joke a lot about this, but Cheney admitted that he was making the majority of the fucking decisions at least through the first fucking term. And he didn't get the goddamn popular fucking vote either. And you know, we can discuss that all goddamn day, voting while black, not just in Florida, but a couple other states. You know, it's almost the same conditions. But Hillary really isn't that much goddamn different. A lot of the people who are talking about that, what they're doing is they're usually picking and choosing. So they'll talk about Libya, but they won't talk about, say, Nigeria and U.S. military involvement there. They won't talk about U.S. military involvement in the Philippines, mostly because they don't know enough about that shit to fucking talk about. You know, they don't bring up, say, what's going on in South America because, they don't know enough about it. So they pick and choose which one. So a lot of the people who talk about that shit, they use, if you look at their material, they use Libya as the prime fucking example because she made a particular comment. We came, we saw, he died, right? So it's easy to fucking pin them on. Now, if they were serious, they could have talked about Berta Cáceres, who named Hillary Clinton. She named her as the reason why so many of her fellow activists and journalists were being murdered down there in her country, in Honduras. And they killed her fucking work partner after that. They started killing other goddamn activists right after that, her fucking replacement. They just killed a journalist, a week and a half or a fortnight ago? But, you know, none of the people who were against Hillary were talking about that. They weren't talking about that in the Stein camp. They weren't talking about that in the fucking Republican Party. Matter of fact, the Stein camp has the same goddamn investments in some cases that Trump does, but they didn't talk about that either. So we're in a real fucking serious position where people are picking and choosing what news and what information and what facts that they want to believe, and then formulating a political fucking quote-unquote philosophy on that shit. They want to argue with you about it. I mean, I got black revolutionary quote-unquote telling me on Twitter that the that Front Page, you know Front Page, David Horowitz, that his activist, discovered the networks. Mike Malloy is listed on that motherfucker. Because every now and then I look for my own goddamn name and shit to be up there. But, you know, a lot of the people that we respect are on that list. And they got a huge, it's probably one of the largest files on the goddamn site. It's the George Soros file. And this motherfucker went back and forth with me for several hours one afternoon talking about, the information is right and it doesn't matter what the source is. And then I'm like, what are you trying to say? And then he's talking about, well, there's this whackness going on. I'm like, what are you trying to say? Talking about the women's march, that Soros funded the women's march, so black people are stupid.
All right, and everybody who's carrying a sign right now is a paid protester, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but see, but even I hate to go and say extremists necessarily, but, you know, the hard right in our own motherfucking political thing, they've bought into this bullshit, too. They follow Alex Jones, too. I mean, you got Larry Pinkney. You got Minister Louis Farrakhan. You got he wrote the book Nigger, the fucking comedian and shit. Bahamian Diet Cat. I mean, he's on fucking Alex Jones' show on a regular fucking basis.
Oh, who, Dick Gregory?
There is so much Dick Gregory, thank you. There's so much goddamn confusion going on out here. Look, a lot of folks are willing to believe anything. There's a politician today that was just this, he had to be discredited because he's out here telling people that he's fucking curing AIDS in Africa. That's bullshit. Well, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, angry Indian, because the proof is out there and they're trying to keep us from fucking, the white man is trying to keep us from getting it. I agree with you, but you're getting information from Alex Jones. Isn't he a white man? Oh, he's just telling what the media doesn't want to tell. He also interviews and supports the fucking Klan. He also supports Trump. He fucking has had David Duke on his goddamn show many times over the years. Oh, well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. And you're the one that's confused, man, because you hang out with a lot of white people and you're married to a Christian Palestinian and you're mixed and you're part Jewish and I don't trust you. That's where shit is at today, Brother Bob. That's where shit is at today. And that's how Trump can fucking run around and do this. Because there's a lot of people that think there's some sort of a ideological pot of gold at the end of this. Some are hoping for pure fucking chaos. The white supremacists are hoping for it. Because this way, this is a justification for them to have the race war that they've been calling for. And they got their counterparts in the
Yeah, when the mechanisms of civil governance and civil society verge toward collapse, that's when vigilante movements, racist vigilante movements like the militias and the Klan and the neo-Nazis, by their own manual, by their own operating philosophy, that's when they step into the vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Always. And it's not like, oh, well, only white people do this. It's like, you better stop that bullshit. You know, we got black fucking, you know, extremists in our own goddamn community. And I'm old enough to remember what the fuck happened in Philly. I'm old enough to remember what the fuck went down in Jersey and Chicago and shit. And what ended up happening. Now, we can blame a lot of that on COINTELPRO, you know, where the FBI was sending letters to the Black Panther Party for self-defense and sending other letters to United Slaves in D.C. and getting them to, have animosities against each other, to get them to fight each other. But you also got motherfuckers who are just like, well, hey, man, you know, we're not going to tolerate faggotry. Right? I mean, you've had a bunch of black transgender people killed over the past 3 years. They're being killed mostly by black men who have this same goddamn mentality. They're not beefing about fucking Trump. Kanye West can't make up his own motherfucking mind whether he likes Trump or he's against Trump. Or if he's down with the Confederacy or he's against the fucking Confederacy, he can't make up his fucking mind. Azalea Banks, she's down with Trump, then she's against Trump when he didn't give her a fucking bid at his goddamn inauguration concert. You got Jim Brown talking about give Trump a chance. Jim Brown.
I know. And it's inexplicable. It's inexplicable.
So, you know, because they don't want to be behind. They see what's coming. They're like, shit, the lynch mobs are coming. I better get my shit right and let these white folks know that I'm not one of the bad ones because I don't want them coming after me. So when we got, you know, this type of shit and then we're stepping over each other, you got Indians who are only not supporting what's happening at Standing Rock, not supporting the resistance against the Keystone XL. Not trying to stop the Sabal Trail goddamn thing, who are literally doing their best to try to fucking help the authorities identify natives. They say, that's the bad one. That one right there, the green coat, that's a bad one. Yeah, that one, he holds meetings at his house. Yeah, that one. It's fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous to the point of we can't even have a discussion about how we got here. We can't have a discussion about where the fuck we go because there's so much fucking ignorance and shit in, you know, just being where the fuck we are, or as they're calling, what is it, hypernormalization. There's a Adam Curtis documentary by that name where, you know, you're so wrapped up in the system and trying to survive that you don't realize how caught up you are, and then that everybody else who's in positions of control are just as caught up. You know, I mean, like what happened during, I don't want to say Stalin has got it going, but really what was happening after him, you know, the system that he started, this took a life of his goddamn own. I mean, Lenin did a lot of fucked up shit too, and it just kept going, you know, it kept going until it fucking petered out. So, I mean, this is what we're coming to, unless you can see another avenue that I'm not, I can't envision.
No, I don't. I mean, I can't. I was thinking about this earlier today. Just trying to tease these threads out to see where they wind up going. But no, there's a crackdown coming, and most I would say it's safe to assume that if you are involved in any large-ish protest movement, you're already infiltrated.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
So, you know, what does that mean? It doesn't mean you don't protest. It does, because it's all, sometimes fighting back is all you got left. Even if you know you're going to lose. I mean, to take this to a more urbane level, I guess, or more, political level. Last night, the Senate, the Democrats in the Senate, held the floor all night long talking about what a piece of shit Betsy DeVos is. And she is. Among other things, Sherrod Brown pointed out that she's deadbeated the state of Ohio for $5 million in a fine for that she owes to the state of Ohio for violating campaign finance laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she gets to get away with that. Tonight, they're holding the floor to talk about what a piece of shit Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III is. And he, too, will be confirmed. Now, it was 50-50 with Pence as the tiebreaker on DeVos. It won't be anything like that tomorrow because my senator, Joe Manchin, will mugwump and go over to the Republicans. Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, another mugwump Democrat, will go over to the Republicans. And those two, I've taken to calling them Bunny and Claude because they're just inept little vandals. And there will probably be a couple of other Democrats who waffle and go over to the Republican side on the Sessions vote. And I think this is kind of important to note. Nobody's going to break ranks on the Republican side. And let's be clear that when Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski broke ranks, they did so knowing that they could do so safely.
Yeah. But so, see, this is what I'm saying. Look.
So nobody was going to blame them for DeVos not being the education secretary. And I mention all of this angry just to point out that you don't just roll over and die because you're beat. Because then they'll stomp you to death before they slit your throat.
Okay, yeah. But here we got Nancy Pelosi. What happened with that? She said that impeachment was off the table the first time.
Yeah, we talked about that some toward the end of the program last night. And, yeah, she said thus far he hasn't committed any impeachable offenses.
Which is a lie.
That's not necessarily true. But there's, the bright line there that would make Democrats sit up and take notice and make them be willing to die on that hill, as it were, ain't there yet. I mean, most Americans really do think that emoluments are that stuff that Don, the Dolt 45 rubs on his whores before he makes him go pee-pee.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's in violation.
See, I'm not, and I apologize to... Go ahead.
But the other thing about the emoluments clause is if you wanted to impeach on the emoluments clause and you crafted a bill of impeachment, you know what the Republican majority... You know what all they have to do is... the only thing they have to do is... They simply pass a waiver. Because that's the way the emoluments clause is written in the Constitution. If the Congress passes a waiver for the president to be able to get emoluments, done and done. And it's not impeachable anymore. So you're going to have something really, really concrete. Because we're talking about a Republican president, not a Democrat getting a blowjob.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, this is where I'm going. You know, and I'm sorry, everybody, for speaking and trying to speak so fast. He and I, it's always an issue. But you were asking what people can do. Now, Michael Collins, let's talk about how far these particular politicians are willing to go. Michael Collins, for example, is considered a hero. Now, the British still consider him to be a fucking terrorist. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think so.
Right? You still can't mention his fucking name in London anywhere. He probably put you on the fucking list for that. But in Ireland, he's a hero. Supposedly, he said that the worst fucking thing that bugs them is not going along with them. So the best fucking weapon we have is our fucking refusal, right?
Right.
So here goes Pelosi. Oh, well, we're not going to do anything because he hasn't done anything, whatever. That's a lie. Now, we can hang on the emoluments thing, but why do we hang on the emoluments clause? Because that's the safe one. How about motherfucking doing exactly what was done to Obama over the past fucking 8 years? Let's call for fucking impeachment on the fact that Kellyanne Conway went to the fucking media at least four times. This isn't me reporting this. This is the journalists who consider themselves to be the mainstream corporate fucking press. She has been found on four fucking instances to go out here and justify his bullshit, saying that this Bowling Green massacre happened and all these people were harmed because of these fucking immigrants. That was a lie. That was a lie. The fact that he lied about a terrorist attack, that his administration tried to fucking do this until it just got to the point where the lie was not going to fucking work because people were simply not going to fucking accept it. On that basis alone, he should be impeached. On that basis alone. If I went into a goddamn theater and said that somebody's upstairs with a gun and just shot three or four people and caused everybody to fucking run out of there, am I going to be able to go home that night without being arrested?
Probably not. That's the classic fire in a crowded theater argument.
Yeah, which is why I brought that up. Now, he got people fucking frightened across the country with that bullshit. Because they're like, a Bowling Green massacre? The goddamn press didn't report it because they hate white people. Because that's what the fuck I heard out on the street. They didn't report about the Bowling Green massacre because they don't want us to know that the Muslims are out here doing all this shit. How do we know for goddamn sure that they weren't assaults and what have you that was based basically on that? We don't know that. He whipped up even more hate with that lie. If Obama has said that an attack happened that did not have happened, they would have called for his goddamn impeachment. They would have called for the fucking impeachment. They would have stretched the language somewhere and they would have called for his motherfucking impeachment. And if they couldn't find one, they would have made one up. So where the fuck are we? Why are we not doing the same goddamn thing? Why are we not doing exactly what the fuck was done to us? Why are we allowing them to bully us, to push us into corners? What is it that, well, we all have an opinion and we're all Americans when we got fucking people who are waving Confederate goddamn rebel traitorous fucking flags talking about white power and Sieg Heiling when this country fought the goddamn Nazis? Because those fucking World War II era vets want me to know that they fucking went out there and supposedly fought for me, right? But
right. They
don't fight the fucking Nazis at home. The DNC is not saying this. I didn't hear anybody who was backing Dr. Stein saying this type of shit because it gets to the fucking question. How many white people really goddamn give a fuck about what the fuck is happening here? They give enough of a fuck to get Melania Trump's bullshit knocked off the White House website. They give a fuck to have Ivanka's shit boycotted. I mean, they lead a boycott to the point where Nordstrom and whatever the fuck is rid of her fucking stuff. They can have an Amber Alert because there's white women missing. But, you know, when it comes to the rest of us, where are all these white people that give a goddamn? Where is the pressure to fucking do something about this? Instead of telling us, well, my hands are tied, we can't. You know, we have to just protest and ask them to be nice. You know, the people who did the general strike got the shit beat out of them, and they're facing 10, 20 goddamn years in prison. The fucking women's march is waving in our faces. Well, we didn't have anybody get arrested, so we did it the right way. You're nothing. We have to be nice. Richard Spencer should not have been hit. That was terrible. That was terrible.
Oh, I got another one on my list here to add into all of this. Ran across something Sunday evening, and it really did. I really did do some thinking on this topic. You know, it's real easy to say something like Donald Trump is crazy, or that he is mentally ill. Well, I ran across somebody on Twitter who has essayed, and this was published back in August of 2016 at CNN, Stop Calling Trump Crazy. And his theory is that it's not okay to call Trump crazy because that makes life really hard for people who have mental difficulties, mental disabilities. And he's, no, we shouldn't do that. And we can't be talking about impeaching him because he's not right in the head. Because he says, you know, lots of other presidents have been a bubble off plum. He says his mental health should not be one of the reasons to criticize him because it's a strategy that appeals to bigotry. Leveraging ableism to achieve electoral goals is no more acceptable than using racism, sexism, anti-gay sentiment, anti-Islamic sentiment, or any other form of prejudice. And he says, I don't want him to be president. This is, again, August 2016. But he said, you know, it's improper to say that. And I got a real, I don't know what to make out of that angry. Because for one thing, the 25th Amendment speaks directly in terms of the disability of the president. And yet, this well-meaning soul doesn't want us to talk about the president possibly having a disability. And Abraham Lincoln may have been a depressive. Abraham Lincoln did not have access to a nuclear goddamned arsenal. Okay? It's a little bit of a different game, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, for one thing, I kind of know about the Lincoln bit. He was besides the fact that he supposedly did have emotional distresses and went through long periods of depression, he had at least two that are documented. He took a mercury.
Blue Mass, it was called.
Yeah, that fucked him up for quite a while.
And he took it because his guts were a misery.
Yeah,
but and he also happened, and shortly after the Gettysburg Address, he also came damn near to dying with probably smallpox, or maybe polio.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that it was smallpox that he was actually lucky enough to. They got to him in time, supposedly.
Yeah,
or just didn't take to his system. But in any case, you know, the point was they were talking about removing him, his supporters. Because they're like, look, if he's not making decisions, you know,
right? But there was actually there was only general guidance in the Constitution at the time, and that persisted up into the presidency of Woodrow Wilson, who was completely incapacitated, and his wife was effectively president of the United States for months.
Yeah, because he had a stroke,
and so in 1968, the 25th Amendment passes. And it speaks directly in terms of the disability of the president.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we've got a mechanism. It's really clunky and it's really weird. And it relies on the cabinet, not the Congress, for the most part. At least the front end of it relies on the cabinet. And there's nobody out there that thinks that Jeff Sessions, I mean, it does not matter what... If Donald Trump runs naked, barking mad down Pennsylvania Avenue, it doesn't matter because Jeff Sessions and Betsy DeVos and Mike Pompeo and John Kelly and the rest of that crowd, there's not going to be nine of them who sign a statement that's saying he is under a disability and Mike Pence must become the acting president.
Well, yeah, see, that's almost like his insurance. He's the Dan Quayle of our time, you know, for this era. You know,
It's troubling that you've got the Kumbaya crowd out there who's, oh, no, I mean, even if it becomes apparent that he's got advanced senile dementia, we can't talk about it, that being why he can't be president.
Well, but this is what I'm getting to, Bob. They're willing to do that if the person looks like them. If the person looks like them. If they can relate to that individual. You look, with all of that talk about, we're going to take it back, we're going to take it back. I knew exactly what that meant. Every fucking person of color who has any kind of political fucking common sense and education knew what that meant. We are not in control of the country because the black man. And as president. That's how I feel. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. The power structure does not reflect me. So, you know, we're going to take it back. We're going to take it back, goddamn. And it doesn't matter what white man, any white man, you know, we're going to do that. And like my mother used to say. She's long past, but she's like, before a black man would get in. She was wrong about this, but she made the argument that it would be a white woman first that became president before a black man, right? But the thing about it is, what my mother didn't understand, it didn't take into account, and she was a conservative, was that what white women were coming up. If Hillary Clinton had not lied about Bosnia, if she had not done the crocodile tear thing and was trying, you know, really trying to use sexism as a tool for her to get support the first time she ran, and then she did it the second time she ran, and then you look at her politics, didn't fucking help her, and then she came the last time in a goddamn situation where we got false news, you got Russia fucking interfering in the goddamn election. Oh, no, they're not. Yeah, the fuck they are. You got at least 2 dead goddamn spies in Russia, 3 dead fucking journalists, and 2 hackers that can't goddamn be found, I understand. And I may be wrong numbers, but that's the bullshit that I'm reading. You know, we got a whole lot of craziness coming up. And it got to the point where, because of what she reflected for a lot of people who are just angry with the system. And because, you know, they knew her, they've seen her, you know, how many goddamn times, they said, fuck it. Because I know too many goddamn people here in Portlandia who said that they were supporting Sanders. And when the DNC dropped him completely, went to Trump, which means they were never really worrying about Sanders to begin with. Sanders is white. That was the bottom fucking line. If I'm going to vote left, I'm going to vote for the fucking white person. But they didn't fucking have Bernie. So I went for. Of course, they're all telling me now, the ones that I'm still talking to, that they regret the decision. But, you know, same thing with a lot of fucking, well, at least 2 people I know that said they were supporting Stein. When they couldn't, you know, when they said, okay, my vote will be wasted. Stein, they voted for the white man. And until white people are really willing to fucking have a discussion amongst themselves about this shit, this is going to keep going in circles, because black people cannot tip the fucking electoral shit here. We can't. Mexicans will be able to. They outnumber us now. They'll be able to make a decision. But Native Americans, black people, no. Asians, maybe in the Pacific Northwest to some degree, but nationwide, no. Not yet. Anyway, you know, not yet. But until we start having that discussion, a lot of this shit will never go forward. Why are they allowing these people to get away with this? Obama could never have done anything like this, even if he wanted to. You know, and besides, a lot of what Trump is doing is what Obama has started anyway. All he did was open the door for this, and he continued on with what Bush is doing. So until we start having discussions like this, and until the left is really willing to criticize Obama, not just talk about, well, he didn't do nothing for me, but really criticize him as an American and as a politician, and show me what the differences were between his policies and Bush, other than a few things that he did for social recognition on his way out the door. You know, I mean, that's the soft white of the United States, of the entire fucking Western European Anglophone system. Until white people start talking about the beefs amongst their own bullshit, how are we going to move forward? The rest of us here, just, you know, we're just part of the backdrop.
And then, I mean, what follows?
Well, that's my question. What follows? How can you even have this discussion about what follows if people think that the Nazis and the communists were on the same side against the United States and England in World War II? If you got people who think that the Holocaust in Europe with not just Jews, but everybody that was fucking killed in Europe, the Serbs, the Roma, every goddamn buddy, the homosexuals. I got black and Mexican people telling me that it didn't happen. So how are we going to make any political fucking decisions when you have this kind of ignorance? Willful ignorance. And we have a fucking journalistic class that waits till after the fact to start saying any motherfucking thing about this. You know, so trying to correct Kellyanne Conway now doesn't mean a goddamn thing. You should have fucking stopped these lies on the fucking way in. How are you going to deal with the devil who's already in your motherfucking house? You're supposed to keep it, or in your body if you're a Catholic, right? You know, you're supposed to keep him out. You do all kinds of shit to keep him out. Once he's in, you can't do any goddamn thing. Except exorcism. And exorcisms are always violent affairs. Am I right? Kicking, screaming, you know, all the stuff
you
see in the movies. Or if you want to believe Malachi Martin and Father Amaroff and all this bullshit, because, you know, all of a sudden now this exorcism's going around on all over the goddamn country. They're doing them here in Portland. You know, get rid of your demons. You know, the devil is coming. The devil is everywhere. You know, Trump is here now. Now let's clean out. It's ridiculous. And these are people who have college fucking educations.
When people can't. It's a human flaw. But when people cannot cope with the reality they are in, when they cannot rationally understand cause and effect such as to be able to see how we got from point A to point K, then, you know, that's where the belief in the demons comes in. Mm. Well, you know, there's no rational explanation for this, Ed. Must be demons. And that's how it happens. I mean, goddamn, I go back to, 2009? And that poll that was taken in New Jersey, in which 27% of New Jerseyans surveyed weren't sure that Barack Obama wasn't the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so...
But you and I are crazy because, you know, we're liberal.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
But, I mean, it's not new, okay? It is cumulative. This is a snowball that started with as one tiny little precious fucking snowflake at the top of a very high mountain and started rolling. And it has its own gravity and its own momentum now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And there's no sign of flat land anywhere in sight, and it's just going to keep rolling downhill and getting bigger and stronger. I mean, he shouldn't be president, except for the, you know, anachronistic artifact of slavery called the Electoral College that even Andrew Jackson wanted to get rid of. I mean, there's an irony in the fact that that Trump is said to be a big fan of Andy Jackson. Andy Jackson wanted to get rid of the Electoral College. In other words, Andy Jackson wanted to get rid of something that would the only thing that made Donald Trump fucking president.
Mm-hmm. But
he shouldn't
look
be.
Look who you're talking about.
He shouldn't be president, but he is. And as a consequence of that, you've got cognitive dissonance among the economically anxious white folks. And you've got somewhere between terror and malaise. On our side, I mean, half the people I saw in D.C. were just, they were stunned. It was like they'd been whacked in the forehead. And the other half were angry and want to do something and are kind of hard-pressed to know what to do. And when that moment comes along, yeah, okay, get out in the streets. A general strike would be a lovely idea. It's also illegal
as
hell.
What happens after the strike? Well, what happens after the strike? If people cannot even envision, and this is what I was talking about with the Ebola instinct, I'm not against it. Let's do it. But that's just one thing that this motherfucker is responsible for. You know, why are we picking the safe stuff? Just like we were talking about, well, these people voted, whatever. They voted. It wouldn't have hurt them politically to have made that vote. Well, then we're never going to move forward. We're never going to move forward. We're not, you know, the left or whatever the left is supposed to goddamn be is not, at least in this fucking country, willing to even educate itself on what needs to be done. You know, the Black Panther Party for self-defense, which was my political fucking experience as a young person growing up, as a child, was that, you know, they had plans. I watched them fucking, you know, deliver food to elders. I remember getting clothes from the clothes drives, right? They used to bring buses and vans to bring people to visit, you know, family members in prison. They were trying to develop and build the community, and the idea was to work towards a plebiscite, because there were at least two, you know, moves like this to figure out what we were going to do. I hear a whole lot of people that are supposedly on the left claim to be Democrats, progressives, what have you. You ask them, a lot of the Black revolutionaries. I can stop all the conversations. What happens after all of the bullshit, after we pull guns on each blah, blah, blah. Okay, what happens after that? I have never been given a fucking clear answer. I have one for my own fucking shit, you know. But the majority of fucking people, they can't see anything past this. A lot of it has to do with not fucking being willing to educate themselves politically and educating themselves, you know, historically to look in the fucking past, see what was happening geopolitically and what was happening in the different parts of the world at that time. What happened? How did Israel become Israel? How much terrorism did they do? Now, that is a study that was done by Hamas. That was a study that was done by Yasser Arafat and the PLO. And I'm not saying that we need to go there. But the fucking point is, they copied the fucking politics that worked in that part of the world. When we look at who hit the King David Hotel, when we talk about the assassinations by Lehi and so on, of Count Folk Bernadotte and the other British attachés and military people that were there, they said, well, fuck it. Obviously, that's how you get a country. And then, you know, Israel does this. They get into power, flip a script, and define everybody a terrorist. Well, there's some truth to this, and there's a whole lot of misunderstanding with this, but you can't even have a conversation in the United States about it, because if you say the Palestinians have rights, well, now you hate Jews. Now you don't believe that the state of Israel should exist at all, right? You're anti-civilization, you're anti-social, you're anti-white. If you talk about racism in this country, you're anti-white, you're anti-Christian, you're anti-Trump, you know, all of this nonsense. If we're not willing to have an honest goddamn discussion and willing to get our feelings heard and willing to understand why our feelings are hurt, none of this is going to go forward. I don't give a fuck with black, white, whatever the fuck. And one of the first things we need to fucking deal with, whether it's Trump or anybody else, with this fucking Muslim ban, let's actually start talking about what an American really is. Because I get tired of hearing the American people, because they're not talking about native goddamn Americans. We got people from all over the fucking place here. What the fuck is the American people? If we were one people, we wouldn't be going through this bullshit. And somebody like Trump would never have gotten up there in the first fucking place. Let's fucking call out the rhetoric. Let's call out the fucking national story and really look at it and ask ourselves what the fuck is going on and how somebody like that could come up after World War II. That's the discussion that we really should fucking be having. And then asking what the fuck it is that we really want. So, you know, we talk a lot about Norway. We talk a lot about what's going on in Europe. Well, then how come we don't have any of that shit? Why is it in 2017 we're still fucking trying to figure out how to get universal health care? That means that the people don't understand what the fuck universal health care really means. So if you don't even understand what it means and what it looks like, how the fuck are you going to get there, let alone make an argument for it?
Well, I think they understand what it means, but they don't. But they've been trained to hate it because they deem it to be associated with devil words. We're back to exorcism again, because it means we're going to be all commie.
Right.
Even though, you know, non-commie.
That's not the case.
It's not even remotely factual. But, you know, this comes. This nation has always been a work in progress. And sometimes in regress. And there have been steps taken forward, and we're in the middle of a giant leap backwards. But it's a leap backwards that has, you know, I mean, it has its own rationale. I mean, they want to kill off Dodd-Frank and the fiduciary rule for what to them are very good reasons. And their very good reasons are enabling a predatory banking system to go back to its old ways. A dog always returns to its vomit, as the saying goes. And this is damn sure that. So, who are...
Well, look, I mean, they want to get rid of anything that protects the public. I mean, it was almost the whole idea of, in England, you know, the divisions between serfs and freemen and the lords and the other nobles and then the king. And then it's like, you know, whenever I hear people talk about, well, you know, king this and queen that, you know, that's the thing in the black community. It's like, you know, do you understand how a king becomes a king, how somebody becomes a queen? They busted somebody's fucking skull open there. You know, did they maintain castles and so on to intimidate the populace? Do you understand politically what the fuck you're talking about? You know, and there is no There is no understanding in that. You know, and yeah, people have an idea of universal health care, but they just figure free health care. And every time they get a hangnail, they'll go to the fucking doctor. And get indignant when people tell them, you know, that's an abuse of the system, which means that they really don't understand what the fuck is going on. And yeah, you know, and I'm being redundant, and I don't mean to, you know, but it's like that's just one good fucking thing to go through, because if we're going to talk about everybody, you know, getting everybody on board with that and housing and, you know, and basic fucking unemployment anyway, I think should be fucking argued, you know. But, you know, this bit about worried about being called a communist and what have you, that's a petty fucking worry. They have nothing else to say. Because if you try to talk to any of these fuckers about communism, I would love to see one of these goddamn reporters catch Kellyanne Conway or Spicer, you know, on a fucking hot mic and ask them what the fuck is communist about, whatever. Because they already said that the country's fucked up. You know, he's already said that Putin is okay, you know, he can go and kill whoever the fuck he wants, right?
Right.
Is there nothing impeachable here?
Now, I'll tell you where I think the biggest... If you want to talk about a really, really impeachable offense, and I don't know if they're so damned ham-fisted they would actually do this, but, you know, the Ninth Circuit heard arguments on the immigration ban this evening.
Yeah, it's still going.
And they seemed kind of, the panel seemed kind of skeptical, shall we say, about the government's position. As it should be. Now, if this thing eventually winds up at the Supreme Court, and they will slow walk it to the Supreme Court in hopes that they can get Gorsuch there before the case gets there.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's a good point.
But if you think about it for a minute, if there should be a ruling that absolutely shuts down his Muslim ban, and he attempts in any way to enforce it anyway, that will be impeachable. That'll be a high crime or a misdemeanor, because remember, that's the standard. There has to be a high crime or a misdemeanor.
Okay, well, how are high crimes being defined? Because remember, we saw this under Nixon, and we saw this when Clinton was in. How are they defining a high crime? His high crime was getting a blowjob, Clinton, in the other office.
Side will correct you. No, goddammit, it wasn't about his blowjob. It's about that he lied about his blowjob under oath, and that's a crime called perjury.
So, I mean, okay, he lied about a terrorist attack. He lied about selling his businesses. He lied about getting money from fucking...
Kellyanne Conway said the business about the Bowling Green Massacre.
That's the technicality.
Well, no, I'm...
Spice to back her up.
Yeah, but you gotta have Donald Trump looking into the camera and saying, I did not have sex with that woman, those 9 urine-soaked hookers in Moscow, and then prove it to be untrue.
But they don't do that with black folks, Indians, Latinos, and Filipinos when we break the law or are accused of breaking the law. Did you actually see him do it? No. Was he standing over there, though, when you heard the noise? Well, actually, I didn't hear a noise, but he was standing over there. But that's where he was standing, exactly right there, yes.
Isn't it awesome to be white?
Are you sure? You know, and it's like, well, that's it then. You know, that's it. We don't need anything else. That's all. They bend the rules when they want to. Because what I'm going on is Spicer has confirmed that we all do what we're told here or we get fired, like the attorney general, the acting attorney general, right? If we don't make a decision that he likes, then he basically goes on Twitter and talks about you and so on. So if I'm out here telling you that the Bowling Green Massacre happened, it's because Trump told me to tell you that the Bowling Green Massacre happened.
I don't necessarily follow that, because there's shit that people say that, I mean, he's not directing on that micro managerial level.
I agree with you.
He's just standing in the midst of the swirling chaos. Now I'll add it. I will add another factor to this moment, and that is that if you or I were standing before an Article III United States federal district judge, and we referred to him as a so-called judge, you and I would be in immediate contempt of court. And being held in contempt of court could theoretically be a high crime and or misdemeanor. But this all comes back to one essential fact. Whatever grounds we're talking about for impeachment, Angry, it's sort of whistling past the graveyard as long as it is impossible to bring any effort at impeachment forward with any hope of success. Now, again, I've pointed out, if you've got every Democrat in the House and you've got maybe 13 Republicans that you can peel off from the herd, you could theoretically win that vote. But before you can even get that vote, you've got to be able to get it to the floor. And in order to get it to the floor, you've either got to get it in committee and get it out of committee, which under the circumstances is impossible, or you've got to have enough votes.
Why?
Why is it impossible?
Yeah.
You tell me why it's possible. Pick a committee. Look at the committee chairs. The committee chair controls the agenda of what the committee does.
No. Yeah, and what control, I just said, they got Ivanka Trump's bullshit kicked out of these goddamn stores. That's just one example. We got the fucking Amber Alert out here because, you know, when white children are missing, they fucking hit my phone, my wife's phone, everybody. We all know about it. Black kid gets killed. Indian woman is missing, gets killed. Nothing. Why is there an Amber Alert and not a Native American? Because a certain level of fucking pressure came down on the system. And they fucking made it happen. They had nothing against Clinton, but they had the goddamn moral majority in all these fucking churches and bullshit pushing that motherfucking agenda, which pushed those politicians to fucking go along with that. That's what I'm talking about. If there was enough public motherfucking want, the will to fucking do this bullshit, to get him the fuck out of office, legally, it would be done.
I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable, Angry, but... take, for instance, the Betsy DeVos vote.
Yeah.
The senators who voted against her represent 36 million more Americans than do the senators who voted for her. Okay? So couple that with that Princeton study from last year, and... You remember the one that said it does not matter what the American people want. Congress does not listen to the needs or wants of the American people. It listens to what the think tanks and the money say. Remember that study?
Mm. Yeah. Well, there's been a bunch.
Well, that's
like
true.
That, and
the House is far more wild-eyed Trumpansy than the Senate, and the Senate is plenty Trumpansy enough. So in order for any impeachment bill to get to the floor, it generally has to start in a committee somewhere, and there is not a single committee in the entire House of Representatives that has a committee chair who would let that damn thing ever see the light of day.
If there's not enough public pressure to make somebody fucking make that decision, no, there won't be. That's the argument that I'm making. If America wanted this shit different, it would be different. It would be different. They would bend whatever the fuck they need to do. They would rearticulate whatever fucking rules are out there to put his ass up there. Because when it comes to bending this shit on us, our rights are violated every goddamn day. We had fucking Troy Brown beaten to death by goddamn corrections officers in Texas. They violated the fucking rules. They were caught on film violating the fucking rules. Two of them admitted that they violated the rules when they heard that federal civil rights charges might be levied on their motherfucking asses. What happened? Nothing. That's why I'm saying I don't give a fuck about whatever, you know, parliamentary shit, or we got to do this, this check to, you know, we got this, this, it might be red tape, but we got this. Yeah, well, when it comes to executing black people, they burn us. Whatever the fuck the rules are, they do what the fuck they want to do, depending on who is in charge of running the show or whether or not they want to run the fucking rules. And if they got public pressure, they will fucking do what they're supposed to do. If they don't have public pressure, they will do what the fuck they want to do. So if the Senate, if the House is fucking doing this shit and Trump was able to run around like this, I'm making the fucking argument it's because the vast majority of people in this country are down with it. The vast majority of white people who talk about being I have no power, I can't do anything. As an individual, you don't. But if enough fucking white people got mad, they would fucking make a change. Because that's how shit fucking really goddamn works. It's not because, oh, well, we're watching all these people bleed out here in the street and suffer, so, you know, that's why I'm going to do something. I mean, a lot of the goddamn people who are out there at the airports and shit have either family or friends or lovers or what have you that are from someplace else. Workmates, they had a personal fucking connection. It's the same thing with all of the different anti-gay violence rallies I've been to. I went there because friends of mine have been harmed. I lost a relative because of homophobia. So, you know, people don't give a fuck just because they usually give a fuck. They got to have some kind of a connection. And the majority of white people say that Trump is a bastard, but I'll give him a fucking break. It's like I give all the other white bigots and fucked up cops and shit a break because I'm white and they're white. And we're the majority here.
And don't forget whatever that percentage of the American people are who just simply don't give a fuck. That would be about 48% of the available registered eligible voters in this country.
Well, they don't give a fuck about the system, or they don't give a fuck about their neighbor, but they give a fuck about themselves. Now, some people are just totally, they don't give a shit. They know that they're just, you know, I'm so depressed and fucked up because of how things are. They really don't care. But they do get up, though, and raise hell when they want to. I mean, I've seen the black community fucking get up off his ass for fucking fried, you know, because the fried chicken goddamn restaurant made a promise to give out some shit one Saturday, you know, some lunches, and didn't. And they goddamn, you know, took over the whole fucking neighborhood. The police had to come. It was this big goddamn thing. And then, you know, some young guys came in and there were fist fights. And then, you know, when they reported the shit in the news the next day, oh, you know, black people fucking going crazy, wilding. Look at this. And it's like funny, we can get up off our asses over some fucking free fried chicken, right? But at the same time, we got people dying in the goddamn prisons and shit here. We got women who are shackled to their fucking gurneys, giving birth. We can't talk about that. You know, we got people who should have been released from prison years ago, where judges are like, yeah, this person should have been out a long goddamn time ago. Matter of fact, I ordered his release 3 years ago. Why is he still sitting in here? Well, we decided and we didn't feel like letting him go. That's what happened with our... But Woodfox, he was in the fucking hole more than goddamn 40 years. They decided that they weren't going to let him go. So if people want to understand what's happening with Trump in terms of the rules, you got three judges that are saying this man should be released from goddamn solitary confinement. Matter of fact, he shouldn't be in prison at all. And they're like, well, he's a member of the Black Panther Party, so we're not going to let him go until we're ready. And they had no problem releasing white supremacists and shit from prison who go out and commit a murder 3 days after they fucking get out and then going right back. No concern about that. What about the rules? You know, when you're in the system, you get charged the same way for a fucking crime. Whatever an assault is in your state, you get hit with the same fucking infraction if you're on the inside. You hit another inmate. But yet the white inmates commit more than 20% of the goddamn murders in the fucking prison system. How are they getting away with that? The rules say they shouldn't even be allowed to fucking be in the fucking general population. Well, they run all the motherfucking yards in any goddamn joint you care to name. What about the rules? People get shit done when they give enough of a fuck to get it goddamn done. If the public really cared about police goddamn brutality, it would be dealt with. If it really cared about misogyny, it would be fucking dealt with. If it really cared about racism and fucking cheating and all of this shit, they would do something. I watched people get up off their fucking asses and run the airports over these things, but they didn't do that when black people were getting shot. You know, you had a lot of white people there, but they didn't fucking take over the goddamn entire fucking system and have, you know, all of this chaos going on in every fucking state because they're murdering black people out here. What about the rules? You know, I'm sorry, man, but that's the way I got to see it, because that's the reality in which I'm living. There's rules, but then they do what the fuck they want to do regardless of the fucking rules. They violate the rules of fucking people color every goddamn day. I mean, they're violating federal shit right now by removing white supremacists from the fucking terrorist watch list. They're not even going to focus on them. And the same guy, you know, the same day, hey, the white supremacists talking about they're crying because they're so fucking happy. They're happy. They're bragging about what they're going to do. That's a violation of the rules somewhere, isn't it?
Well, sure it is.
So, no.
You know, the rules are... Look, I mean, the rules are different for little people versus players.
Mm-hmm. But you and I, excuse me, over a beer, over a pint, we'll say that. And then everybody says that. It's common parlance. Yeah, well, you know, this, that, and the other. But when it comes to talking about the national situation, no, it was fair and square all the way across. And if you don't have anything, it's because you didn't want to work hard enough and you don't want to put yourself up by your bootstraps. And that's how the system protects itself. I hear black people talking all the time. Hey, man, look around, man. Things are getting better. Shit hasn't changed for you in more than 12 years, Holmes. Well, one day, if I'm nice enough to white people, one day they'll give me a break. The rules, right?
Yeah, temporarily embarrassed millionaires and all of that. Sure.
So, you know, I mean, it affects you too, but in different ways. And that's what we need
you talk about bringing pressure against the House of Representatives. You know, that would be pressure against, I guess, what, Paul Ryan?
Well, they should have been getting on Paul Ryan from the beginning.
And some of that pressure has been brought. But I take a more pessimistic view than you do, Angry. Thus far, they seem impervious to that pressure.
Yeah, but why? When we look at the mainstream media, we got Jake Tapper speaking for us now. Jake Tapper, right? Why is the public not listening to you on a regular fucking mainstream goddamn station that gets real motherfucking listenership that can broadcast from Appalachia to the goddamn Miami like Limbaugh?
You want to know why these elected representatives and senators are impervious to us? I got the answer right here. I got a list, Angry. These are Republican senators who voted for Betsy DeVos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the alternate.
Marco Rubio.
The White House,
Marco Rubio received $101,300 from the DeVos family. John McCain received $36,600 from the DeVos family. Bill Cassidy received $70,200. Ron Johnson, Wisconsin, $48,600. Rob Portman, Ohio, $51,000. $55,800 for Pat Toomey. Tim Scott, South Carolina, $49,200. Roy Blunt of Missouri, $33,100. $43,200 for Richard Burr. Chuck Grassley got $21,600. He sold cheap. John Thune of South Dakota sold real cheap at $8,000. But the total outlay was $927,600. And when you're getting money like that, you can tell the people to go Trump themselves, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Because it'll buy you enough ads in the next cycle in which you can say, well, my opponent don't love the baby Jeebus. And bang, you're reelected.
And what did you just say? You can buy enough ads. I sent you a link earlier today on exactly, or at least this.
Yeah, you can buy bullshit Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but only 22% of Dolt 45's followers on Twitter are actual real accounts.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are dummies, sock puppets, bought. And apparently, Twitter says it's moving to wipe out the sock puppets. We shall see.
They've been saying that. Because they got rid of a bunch of white supremacists about three, maybe 4 weeks ago. And then and it was like a week and a half, they were right back on. They were right back on.
But to me, I come back around, and we're going to wrap this up, and just I got to take a couple more calls. But to me, this points up the necessity. I mean, look, that 48% of fuckers who stayed home, yeah, thanks a fucking million. Yeah, some of them would have been Trumpanzees. But the fact of the matter is, the only way you're going to remove this bastard from office before 2020 and try to defeat him then is by impeaching his ass after 2018. This Congress ain't going to do it.
But, as long as the public doesn't demand it,
but if
not
we
going
could,
to.
But if we could be smart about it and get rid, all we got to do is hang on to what we got and beat about 13, 14 more. Then you get a Democratic majority. And then you start leaning the hell on Nancy Pelosi. I personally think that is, I mean, yes, I know what her history was in 2009, impeachment's off the table, yada, yada. But the fact of the matter is, her talking impeachment now would be counterproductive. Let Maxine Waters do that, because Maxine Waters lives in a district where she can afford to do that, where there's no political price to pay. But we don't need a national advertising campaign in 2018 when Representative Thumbbutt from Busted Knuckle Mizzouppi gets some sort of amazingly credible challenge from a Democrat. We don't need ads running saying he'll be part of the Nancy Pelosi cabal that seeks to whose only purpose is to impeach our God-given President Donald J. Dipshit. We don't need that. Some of this is strategy. Some of this is tactics. And for us in our little bubble, in our little community to talk about that, that's just fine. And for Maxine Waters to talk about it is just fine. Or for some other member of the House to talk about it in a safe district is just fine. But we don't need to get, we don't need to, I mean, there's a sporting analogy here, Angry. We don't need to give them bulletin board material.
Yeah, but if you're dealing with his actual policies, if you're dealing with his actual money trail, if you're actually demanding and trying to force a legality where his tax returns must be made public, then you're actually doing something. But I'm not going to sit and wait, you know, for these politicians to do whatever the hell by whatever rules that they set up for themselves, because that's how it worked. You know, we didn't, the public didn't set up any of these rules. They set it up for themselves. For him to make a tweet to cause another international incident, he hung up on the goddamn leader of Australia, refuses to apologize for it. And his people are backing him, that he doesn't have to, you know, he can say whatever he wants to anybody, and he can insult whoever the hell he wants to. He's the president. He can do what he wants. He's going to cause an incident that's going to get everybody here messed up. So, you know, again, the public will change their mind when it comes across their law. If he does, if he puts a tweet out
there, absolutely. You know, when the belly rumbles, the head learns.
Well, why let it get that far is what I'm saying. I don't see the point in letting it get that far.
I'm not into letting it get that far. I don't want a collapse, but they're going to create one. This goddamn fiduciary rule and the Dodd-Frank stuff is probably going to create another financial meltdown. Because the fuckers Wall Street can't help themselves.
Yeah, but see, but that's what will do it. Because they will let a bunch of white supremacists go crazy here, like in Charleston, or what happened in Quebec. And that obviously will not budge anybody. But when their finances get hurt and they can't feed their kids, then all of a sudden now they'll do something, and then they'll demand that I do something to help them. That's where I'm coming from.
You're assuming that they won't just look up and say, this is because of that goddamn Obama.
No, not in this case. Because they've been saying that. And that doesn't mean any goddamn thing anymore. They'll know who did it, because this motherfucker sitting around thumping his chest talking about, I'm the man. So he's the only one to blame. Except when he says he's not to be blamed. Because he's now saying that if there's a terrorist attack, it's not his fault. Because this judge just let these people in. So anything happens, it's going to be one of these people that came in under this guy. So it's not my fault. But for everything else, though, I want full credit, which, again, reflects the society. Give me credit for freeing the slaves. Give me credit for giving this, you know, young Indian girl a college education. But I don't want any credit, though, for the genocide. And I don't want any credit for slavery. And I don't want any credit for any of these innocent people being droned. Just give me the credit that I want. Make me feel good. Kiss my ass or I will hate you. You know, that's it. You know, bottom line. And until, you know, the regular average working class people out here get hurt, you know, until the 80% can't feed their kids, then they'll do something. You know, then they'll do something. And then and these politicians will say, well, I got to represent the people in my community. You know, I know. You gave me $6,000, but hey, man, I got to get back in the office again. You know, I got to go back home. So I can't, you know, I got to do this. If they're forced, they'll think about doing it at least. But if you're not going to make any, if we are not going to make any sort of a demand, then they're not going to do anything. So, you know, I'll bid you, you know, good evening and everyone else. I mean, I know it's hard out here. I know we don't have the money, but if you can spare any coins at all to keep the Bob Kincaid Show on the air, please do so. Peace.
Thank you, Angry. Have a good night, my friend. The one and only Angry Indian. And thanks go out to Cletus and Miss Karen and Steve from Georgistan. They just took the evening's fundraising goal down to $120. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. That might be reachable in the next 25 minutes or so. Sparky has an update regarding the chat room. And regarding continued access to SAME. And I'd suggested that he might explain what the situation was here in fairly short order. Just so it has to do with a Firefox update. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
So, what's the skinny?
Okay, I'll tell you what happened to me on the chat room. The Man Cave computer was on a beta, Firefox beta deal where it updates automatically. So it updated itself to Firefox 52. Remember the other day I told you I couldn't get into the chat room on the computer? Well, that's what happened, and I researched it out. It doesn't support Java anymore. So what I did before, I downloaded Firefox 49, went to file HIPPO, and downloaded 49, and then I uninstalled 52 and downloaded 49 and was able to make it work out there. Now then, you were asking about how to stop updates on Firefox.
Yeah.
You click on Tools and go to Options and then click on Advanced, and there'll be a header that says Update. You click on it and it'll give you the options: automatically install updates, check for updates, but let me choose whether to install them, or you can click never check for updates.
Okay,
so I'm
looking here now. Damn, where is Tools?
Up at the top of your toolbar on Firefox.
Must not be displayed on mine.
Oh.
That's kind of weird, but yeah, so it's under Tools, right?
Yeah, on my computer it's on the very top of the page in the left-hand corner.
Well, wait a minute, maybe that's Tools. No, it's Manage Plugins. Huh. Oh, well, have to find it after the program. But but the takeaway is, do not let update 52 onto your Firefox.
if you want to stay, be able to access the chat room.
Right.
And we're still on a month-to-month basis with the chat room, and we'll take it as far as we can go. Now, the mobile access is good till May. I haven't figured out when I pay it. I haven't figured out how to cut out the mobile access to get them lined up. So that's the way I'll proceed with the chat room.
Okay. Okay.
Now, one other thing I wanted to update you. I posted a link on Facebook about the Fire the Fool March on April 1st.
Yes.
In Washington, D.C. Well, on your Skype, I posted a media update from the organizers of Fire the Fool.
Right, I just saw that.
It's firethefool.com. Well, the rumor that Rachel Maddow and Stephen Colbert are involved with the planning is false. So, but they are planning a march, and they're moving forward with it, and it's supposed to be worldwide. And on the front top of their page, it says, "Power does not corrupt men. Fools, however, if they get into a position of power, corrupt power." George Bernard Shaw. And they have a declaration, and you can follow them to see what's going on.
Okay, and that's they certainly the organizers certainly didn't. They didn't try, as they make clear in that press release, they didn't try to make it appear that any celebrities were behind it. That's just what people did picking it up and running with it, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like,
well, it's gonna be busy.
Standing,
I mean,
in a line and telling people, whispering something, a secret in something that he's hearing. By the end, you get to the end of the line, it's totally different.
Yeah, there's the Science March coming up. There's the People's Climate March coming up. There's the Fire the Fool March coming up. And one hopes that people can maintain this level of energy and this level of activism.
Oh, and one other thing. I listened to not all, but most of the arguments today on the 9th District. There was a website where you could listen. You couldn't watch it, but you could listen.
Right.
And both those judges picked both sides apart, so I don't know how it's going to turn out.
Well, it's probably going to wind up in the Supreme Court, period.
Yeah. The woman judge was questioned the most compared to the other two.
Well, it's that and they're like I said, they'll try to either have Gorsuch on the Supreme Court before it gets there, or slow down the process until they can get him there, because I don't think this eight member Supreme Court would be necessarily inclined to uphold his action. And what I was trying to discuss with Angry is the fact that direct violation of a Supreme Court order is arguably an impeachable offense. But what an impeachable offense is, Sparky, is ultimately whatever the House of Representatives declares it to be.
Correct.
And that's a little bit, depressing, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. All right, well, everybody, if you want to stay in the chat room, no Firefox 52 for you. I had a question, a comment coming through from Gerald. You can get the Java plugin for Chrome. Will Chrome work with the website or with the chat room?
I'm not sure. I've never used Chrome. Somebody's going to have to tell me.
Okay, okie dokie.
But I know Steve said IE10 still works with it.
Wow. Okay. Well, there are a few ways of getting in. Thanks, Sparky. I appreciate it. Looks like Scott and Punky are ringing in, so we'll check in with them and see what's up.
Okay. Talk to you Friday.
All right. I'm glad the man cave is more tolerable now. I'm sitting back here burning up.
Except for the mosquitoes.
Yeah, the size of eagles, right?
No, they're not that big. It's just a lot of them. I mean, we get rain every other day now, and it's just this yucky weather. I mean, the sun comes out, and it goes away, and it rains again. But it's nice. We're well on the drought's over up here. I mean, we're well on the way to.
I don't know what in the hell's going on here. I mean, like I said, I'm sitting in the studio right now. The thermometer in the studio reads 76 degrees, and we got up into the 70s just outside today, and it was humid as shit. And please believe me when I say that this is weird for Appalachia in early to mid-February.
All I know is spring is almost upon us because the finches have come back.
Yeah, we're expecting it. I mean, this is bizarre. Tomorrow we get a high of 54 and a low of 31. Mm-hmm. The day after that we get a high of 32 and a low of 14. And then we're back into the 40s and 50s with a high of 65 on Sunday. I don't know. Much more, and I'm hauling the shorts out.
I'm not supposed to see the sun till this weekend.
Now, this probably means that we'll have a 4-foot snow in the last week of April, and I'm going to be really pissed. All right, Sparky, good talking to you. We'll catch you on Friday.
Okay.
See ya. Meanwhile, there's Scott and Punky.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Scott.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I love the Irwin Corey quote earlier. Yes, thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for reminding me of the passing of America's oldest comedian, Professor Irwin Corey, at 102. If we do not change direction, we will wind up where we're going.
There you go.
There we went, and here we are.
And that's why I called. Simply because, what was it, 48% of the people didn't even bother to participate in the election last November? Was that it?
Yeah.
They were perfectly eligible to jump in with both feet and just be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And for whatever reason, parenthesis, excuse, close parenthesis, they decided to be otherwise engaged.
Well, I see it as the triumph of a generation of telling the American people that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're certainly not going to relitigate Bush v. Gore or Nader versus Gore or Nader versus Bush or any of that stuff. And I'm not going to talk about Florida because there's too many ways of explaining around Florida. But one fact does remain, Scott. And it is unassailable. And that is that both Ralph Nader and Jill Stein said there is no difference between the two major party candidates. They didn't say there were nuances or that the differences were marginal at best. They said there is no difference. And for that, I think they should be held intellectually, if not morally, accountable.
Oh, sure. Because that's like calling the game on account of why bother, you know? If you buy into the notion that there's no discernible difference, then yeah, it's perfectly understandable that 48% of the people would just sit there with a bemused expression on their faces. And you recall, I'm sure, or have heard, at least heard of the Fire Sign Theater.
Oh, very well.
Okay. Well, I forget which album it was, but they used to talk about something known as Punter's Law. And Punter's Law goes like this. If you push something hard enough, it will fall over. Okay? And it's like we've forgotten Punter's Law. We've given up the notion that pushing can sometimes lead to a successful result. But the operative phrase there is, if you push something hard enough, it will fall over. But, you know, if you don't think that Punter's Law applies, if you're part of the 48%, well, you know, we're screwed before we even set out. So, but I'm wondering if some of the stuff that we're doing is going to have any kind of positive effect, because you can have, apparently, you can have the biggest march that's ever been had in Washington, D.C., Disneyland on the Potomac, 62 square miles surrounded by reality, okay? You can have the biggest march ever to hit that town, and you can have, what, 400, 500, 600 sister marches all over the planet, okay? You can be the Democratic Party in the Senate having a marathon talk-a-thon last night into the wee hours and overnight and into the morning in opposition to Ms. DeVos, okay? That apparently does nothing. So maybe in addition to remembering it's important to push, maybe we need to look at what pushing entails and if former methods of pushing are as reliable as they might once have been. I don't know. Maybe it's too soon to tell. Maybe we haven't applied the tried and true methods enough. But then again, since everything seems to have changed, you know, I mean, Donald Trump is a prime example of that. Any other candidate who ran for president in any other election year would have been shot down in flames within the first couple of months, saying and doing some of the things that he said and did. Maybe there's been a shift that hasn't shown up on the blackboard in any of our previous equations. I don't know. I'm just tossing it out there to see what you think.
I'm of mixed mind on it, Scott. I mean, when you said 62 square miles surrounded by reality, I got the notion that reality is on the ground real hard there right now. As for the people, it's when you've convinced 48% of the people who can vote not to vote, can't you be said to have run a pretty successful voter suppression campaign?
Yeah, that's one form of voter suppression. I mean, non-participation is certainly going to suppress something. I wonder if maybe the tipping point is going to be of this 48% who can't be bothered, maybe things haven't gotten bad enough for them yet to where they kind of shake their head, you know, like a boxer who's been, you know, pummeled in his cranium there. And he's sitting on the stool in the corner between rounds, and they're rubbing him down and applying stuff to the cuts and all that, and getting it, trying to encourage him to shake his head enough to get some of his marbles back in order. Maybe, you know, maybe we haven't, you know, at least that 48%, maybe they haven't yet gotten to the point where they're in the corner stunned, and they haven't quite gotten up whatever it takes to shake it off and get up and go another round or three. I don't know. I'm just as mystified as anybody. You know, all I can bring to the party is observations, you know, in regards to what it looks like in my life experience and comparing it to other stuff. But we're in the undiscovered country. We're in the uncharted territory. And it's hard to know what the state of things is because a lot of stuff doesn't seem to apply the way it once might have. And maybe part of that 48% problem is it hasn't shown up. You know, some of the things that Angry was saying were absolutely right on, in the sense that, you know, he was wondering what happened to that percentage of white folks who couldn't, who would run to the airport and raise hell about the immigrant ban, the Muslim ban. But when black kids are being shot down in the street, you know, that police are have run riot with impunity, a lot of those same white folks couldn't be bothered with it. So maybe it is a matter of, until it shows up on somebody's own doorstep, you know, the blinders stay firmly in place. I don't know. I can, all I bring to it is my comparisons in history and also whatever relentless optimism, you know, I can manage to drum up, which varies from day to day. Some days, like this day started out, was a, yeah, well, fine, whatever sort of thing, waking up to the news of having the new Secretary of Education, you know. So I waver from day to day, but ultimately, I think I'll do okay as far as being engaged. But I sometimes honestly worry about a tipping point in my own life where it's like Paul Harvey used to say, it doesn't matter what you do, nothing's ever going to get any better. You know, I don't want to fall into that trap, but some days it looks off that oasis, that illusion, that montage.
Right, but by the same token, Scott, we can't be Pollyannas about this. We have to recognize where we are and where we're going and the nature of the threat which we face. And there is, I mean, I know it's quite fashionable, especially on the hard progressive left, such it is, as it is. DNC, goddamn Donna Brazile, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I understand. And I'm not saying you do that. But the fact of the matter is, if every Democrat in the House and Senate right now were the fire-breathing the guardians of truth and justice and apple pie and frisbees and wheat checks that we purists demand that they be, guess what? We still lose. Because we ain't got the numbers. I mean, right now, just a quick as it happens update. Right now, they're having a kerfuffle in the Senate, trying to she has been charged. Elizabeth Warren has been charged on the floor of the Senate with violating the Senate Rule of Standing Order 19, which essentially says that even if a senator drops trowel and shits on the carpet, you can't accuse the senator of having bad motives for dropping trowel and shitting on the carpet in the middle of the Senate. You can just say that he shat on the carpet. And this stems from the fact that Elizabeth Warren was reading a letter from Coretta Scott King into the record that talked about what an awful, awful, godforsaken, terrible, no good, really bad attempt at a human being Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third is. And so now, and so they are trying to punish her for criticizing the conduct of Sessions. That's where we are. And they can't be stopped. And they can, and the Republicans can't be stopped in the House. You know, we hear all this talk about how Lindsey Graham comes out and says, oh, no, Donald Trump is terrible. But then when the moment comes to when the steel strikes the anvil, no, he's not going to go against he's not going to speak up and keep a woman from becoming education secretary who has no goddamn business being one. And he will joyfully vote in favor of Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third, too. Because the Republicans are all air. There's no there there. I mean, does that seem about fair?
Yeah, well, it's the system is set up in such a way as to not be effective in ways that we want it to be. Now the question becomes, what do we need to do to change things to the extent that, you know, a future that works for all of us is possible? And I guess that's our reading assignment.
Well, it kind of is, and it depends on whether you're talking about the House or the Senate or the presidency.
Well, all three need work. Come on.
But they're all three different kinds of work.
Yeah.
The House races are district-based and Byzantinely gerrymandered. State races are statewide. And then there's the presidency, and that's a different kettle of fish altogether. Unfortunately, we got to get out of here. Punky has been quiet. Did you exile Punky to the bathroom again?
No, he's sitting on his perch in his house, and he's having a little nap.
Oh, okay. He's thinking.
He's his pondering. Mirror fell off. I had a mirror up on the wall above his house where he sits in the daytime and visits with his friend, and it fell down, and I couldn't get to it. It was behind something. And maybe he's pouting because his mirror was gone for a while.
Well, you've got, by the way, I should note, I don't know if you heard it earlier, but over down in Australia, you've got Graham quivering in fear from the ravenous ducks.
Watch out. And if you think ducks are bad, watch out for geese. I knew some people out in the country who had, instead of a watchdog, they had a watch goose. Jesus.
Oh, there's a Scotch distillery somewhere in Scotland. And they have watch geese as well.
Yeah.
Because they set up a heck of a lot bigger alarm and racket than any junkyard dog. Scott, have yourself a wonderful evening. And when Punky wakes up, tell him thanks for the kind thoughts.
All right, man. Take care.
See you now. Bye. Our buddy Scott and the slumbering Punky. Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. We wind up $120 short. We'll try to make that up on prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. Thanks to all of our volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you, News Ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, acact.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.